Thank you, thank you, thank you. Give it up for God. Give it up for God. So, as Pastor Nick said, my name is Bruce Powell. I'm so excited and blessed to be here with you all today. This is a very special moment for me because about 12 years ago, when we launched the White Oak campus, I was a part of the original launch team. And I never imagined that I would be standing on this stage today preaching, my first time ever on a Sunday. So God is just so good. He is so good.
Amen.
So as Pastor Nick said, the title of my message today is called Read the Instructions. You're probably thinking, why is it called Read the Instructions? Well, I'll explain why. Now, if any of you know Pastor Nick, he likes audience participation. I also like audience participation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm going to ask you a question. By a show of hands, how many of you here have ever built or assembled anything in your life? Okay, so it's majority of you. Now, for you who have built or assembled something, how many of you know what comes with what you're building? What comes with what you're building?
Instructions.
Instructions. Now, how many of you actually read the instructions? No. Now, those who read the instructions, how many of you actually follow the instructions? A little bit. Well, that's the thing. So God has made many promises to us that can be found all throughout the Bible. The Bible, which is the instruction manual for how we live our lives according to his plan. But what happens is we either don't read the instructions or we read them but don't follow them. We look at the words on there and then just throw it out the window and just start doing stuff. So today, what we're going to do is discover what those promises God made are and how we can receive them. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the day, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this place. I pray that you open up the hearts and ears of those who are listening, Lord, and that they hear directly from you and respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to kick off in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. It says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you."
Amen.
So this is a promise that God made to us. And in life, we are going to go through many different stages of life, which are called seasons of life. And in those seasons of life, we're going to experience many different things. There's going to be happiness, sadness. There's going to be grief, sorrow. But no matter what season we are in, God's word says that he will go before us. He is with us. He will not fail us, and he will not leave us.
Amen.
How many of you think that's a very significant promise?
I love it.
But wait, there's more. So let's pull up some stats here. Let's look at some stats. 8,810 is the amount of promises listed in the Bible. And 7,487 of those promises that God made were to us. That means 85% of God's promises are for us. Now let's take a look at some of those promises he made. God promised that if we search for him, we will find him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will search again for the Lord your God, and if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him." God promised protection for his children. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one." Psalm 62:2 says, "He alone is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I will never be shaken." These are some strong promises. Let's look at some more. God promised that his love will never fail. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." God promised new life in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." Do you guys know that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus? Amen. It's true. John 17:23 proves that. So on your free time, look up John 17:23 and it'll tell you God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Let's look at some more promises. God promised comfort in our trials. 2 Corinthians 1:3 through 4 says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort." Let's pause right there for a moment. His word says he is the source of all comfort, not a resource. There's a difference. A source is a person or place that you can go to receive something useful or valuable. A resource is something that you use to perform a function. So, what is some examples of resources for comfort? Money, drugs, sex, alcohol, food. All of those might bring you some sort of comfort, but the next day, you'll be wondering where it all went, because it only gives you a temporary feeling of comfort. But in God, the comfort never runs out. It's always there. In him is where we experience true comfort. So when you get that bad diagnosis, or you lose that loved one, that friend, or you lose your job and you don't know how the bills are going to get paid, are you going to go to the source of all comfort or a resource? Are you going to use or are you going to rely on? Am I going to use this thing to numb the pain, or am I going to go to God, the source of all comfort, to take the pain away? That's why in 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, "Death, where is your sting?" Because sin is the sting that leads to death, but God gave us victory over sin and death through Jesus. Now, how many of you want to experience victory and freedom over the sin in your life? Amen. Well, guess what? I know a way that you can experience victory and freedom over the sin in your life. We have our Victory and Freedom Weekends coming up. You probably can't see it behind me because apparently the power or something's not working again. So that's great. God, listen, God told me this morning that the power was going to go out. He told me to be prepared. So I was like, all right, I will be prepared for that to happen. And it did. So, Victory and Freedom is coming up June 7th and 8th, I believe. It is a time where you can start to reveal the strongholds that are in your life and break free of them and start to experience the life that God has for you. So I encourage you to please get signed up and attend, because you might be missing out on the things that God wants to give you because you're still struggling with those strongholds and things in your life. I've been to like 3 or 4 of them. It's an amazing time, so get signed up. God promised to supply our needs. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Philippians 4:19 says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." So what that means is that the needs that God wants to supply us are found in Christ. So if you aren't in Christ and Jesus is not in your life, then you won't experience those needs that are supplied because they're all fulfilled in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at another promise. God promised us guidance. It'll probably pop up behind me. So Isaiah 30:21 says, "Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go,' whether to the right or to the left." Some of you might be thinking, how do I hear God? How do I hear his voice? Well, to hear God, you must first know him. And to know him, you must first spend time with him. And the way you spend time with him is through reading his word, so reading the Bible, praying, that's you speaking to him, and worship. Now, worship is not just singing a song and clapping your hands.
Right.
It's not just that. Worship is also how you live your life. Worship is also how you spend your time. Are you serving on a team? Worship is also how you use the talents and the gifts and abilities that God's given you. Are you using those to glorify his name? Worship is also how you use your finances. Are you a generous giver? Are you giving back to God what is rightfully his? That's all of worship. And through that, you'll be able to hear his voice. So, me personally, I have gone through many seasons of life. I've experienced ups, downs. I've experienced loss of loved ones, loss of employment, health issues. But through those seasons, God gave me a promise. He gave me the same promise that he gave Moses and Joshua. And we can read out of Joshua 1:3-5. It says this, "I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." So this promise is what I cling to when I'm going through times of uncertainty, when I'm going through times of doubt, when things just don't look good, I cling to this promise. And when the rains come and the wind blows, I'm standing on a firm foundation that God gave me, that no power in the sky above, the earth below can come against, because he will not fail me and he won't abandon me. So what promise are you clinging to in your life, when things get shaky, when you're going through times of uncertainty? Now, are you guys ready for some show and tell?
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm glad the screen's working behind me so you can guys see this picture. So let's have some show and tell time. So that's me. Young Bruce. That is me before I had Jesus in my life. I was a scared, broken little boy, just living life, trying to act like I had it all together and figure things out on my own, not knowing who Jesus was, And if you see in this picture, I'm wearing a Pittsburgh Pirates hat. So the crazy thing about this picture is that this I took this picture in 2008. I was not in Pittsburgh at the time. I'm originally from Maryland. Now, before y'all say something, I am not a Ravens fan, okay? I am not a Ravens fan. But I had no idea when I took this picture that I was going to start my adult lifehood in Pittsburgh. But I was wearing that hat in that photo. It's wild. Things don't just happen by coincidence. Now, the next photo that's going to pop up behind me is when I was college, graduation day. Graduated from Seton Hill. Go Griffins. Yeah. Some of y'all know, it's like, who's the Griffins? So during my early years in college, I still did not have a relationship with Jesus. I was living the typical college lifestyle. Partying, getting drunk, drugs, all of that. And my grades reflected it. They really did. I ran the risk of getting kicked out. But it wasn't until my sophomore year where I met a girl, beautiful woman. She's still beautiful to this day. That girl's in that photo there, right there. And she invited me to church. And I went because I wanted to spend time with her. So I started going to church because of a girl, just like Pastor Nick. So it's a great way to start coming to church. But see, I kept coming back because there are people who I got connected with who became spiritual brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and grandmothers and fathers in my life. And I accepted Jesus in my life, and he became the forgiver of my past and leader into my future. And my new life began at that moment. And my grades reflected it. I ended up finishing the last 2 years of my college career on the dean's list and graduating with honors. And that's just a result of the promise that God had for me when I accepted Jesus into my life and a new life began. Now, the next picture that'll pop up behind me, that's me and my wife for wedding day. And yeah, oh, you see how young I look in that picture? So, God had a promise for our marriage. He promised us that if we had Jesus at the center of our marriage, that it'll be fruitful and honoring to him. So that's what we did. And now we are about to celebrate 11 years of marriage, and I'm so blessed. And we have two beautiful kids who are growing in their relationship with God. And my son, he just recently got baptized and accepted Jesus into his life. So 7 years old, so proud of him. But that was a promise that God had for our marriage. And we were obedient to his word. The next photo is of me and my son when he was just a few months old. Just a little baby. And during that time, I was working for Verizon. I worked for them for 10 years. And just a few months ago, there were layoffs. I got laid off from that job. So I went through a season of unemployment. And if anyone ever has been through a season like that, you know, there's a lot of uncertainties and what's going to happen. And, you know, I was just waiting on God to show me where he wanted me to be. But during that time, he promised me that he was going to get me to where he wanted me to be. and to just keep my eyes on him and not the circumstances. So I was obedient to what he told me, and that's what I did. And there was a job opportunity that came up to be the student director here at the church, and God told me to pursue it. So I followed his instructions, and that's what I did. And fast forward to now, I'm now the student director and business director for the church. And I am so blessed and honored to get to do what I do each day. And it's just based off of me being obedient to what God told me. And then this final picture is me with my family. It's my daughter there, Viana. She's just turned 4. And this is just like a snapshot of the promises being fulfilled in my life. And the reason why I show you all of these photos is because that I need you to realize something. I need you to realize that for me to be able to receive those promises, a change needed to happen in my life. And that change had to start in the inside. My heart needed to change. And then my actions needed to change. What I said needed to change. What I listened to needed to change. What I watched, what I thought needed to change. Because God's promises are too great for our sinful nature to receive. So he needed to change me. And a lot of people are wanting God to change their circumstances, but don't want God to change them. And God is desiring to transform us through a process of sanctification. And his word changes us.
Right.
So what if we approached every obstacle in our life as an opportunity for God to change us? The answer is found in his word. So let's take a look at one more promise here. It's out of Exodus 23:20-22. It says, "See, I'm sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place I have prepared for you. Pay close attention to him and obey his instructions. Do not rebel against him, for he is my representative, and he will not forgive your rebellion. But if you are careful to obey him, following all my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you." Now, this is a promise that God gave to the Israelites when they were traveling to the promised land. He promised them protection, guidance, and safety. But for them to receive those promises, they had to obey what he told them to do. And see, there are promises that God made that are unconditional. We only need to receive them. But then there are promises that God made that depend on our obedience to his word to receive that promised benefit. And it's important for us to know which is which, because we can cause ourselves major problems trying to earn something that God gives and believing that we are entitled to something that God requires us to seek. There's his part and there's our part. So what do we need to do to receive these promises? First thing is we need to begin a relationship with God and become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. This is step number one. If you have not completed this step, you're missing out. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory." So what that means is that the promises that God has for us have been fulfilled in Jesus. That means that we have to be in Jesus for us to receive those promises that God has. The next thing we need to do is be faithful. Romans 4, 19 through 24 says, "And Abram's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous." So in the book of Genesis, God gives Sarah and Abraham a promise that they were going to give birth to a son well beyond their childbearing age. And Abraham didn't let the circumstances cause his faith to waver. It actually grew his faith stronger. And because of that, God counted him as righteous. And God fulfilled that promise that he gave. They had a son. His name was Isaac. In Hebrews 10, 23, it says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." God can be trusted to keep his promises. What he says is set in stone. There are no takebacks. And the last thing is, we need to be obedient. John 14, 15 says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." So to receive the promises, it also takes obedience to his word. We have to follow his instructions. Now let's go back to the first thing we must do. And that's begin a relationship with God and become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Now, some of you are here today and you never did step one. And you're missing out on the promises that God has for your life. And I want to tell you that the same promises that God has for me, he has for you. And all you need to do is take that step of faith and allow Jesus to be the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future. And then your new life can begin in him. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus into your life as the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, if you don't have a moment, a date, a place where you did that, today can be your day. All you need to do is just raise your hand. So if that's you today and you want to make that decision to make Jesus a part of your life, just raise your hand. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for what you did here today, Lord. I thank you for the words that you spoke, Lord God. Lord, I pray that the words that were spoken touch the hearts of those listening and that they respond to your word and begin to not only read the instructions, Lord, but follow them and hear your voice and take those next steps in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.